day and I find a place to eat.
The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
It's Friday, the best day of the week. Time for another Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. And now, here to ease away the tension of your week, here's Nate.
Just sit back and relax.
Was that a ninja sound?
Was that like a Zorro sound?
Sort of. It's Zorro. It was in the other open, too, for the Wednesday show.
You just missed it.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, wow. It just wasn't as prominent.
It's a lot to get used to, all these changes.
Like Fruit Ninja with the...
Aw.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh.
Fruit Ninja. Yeah, a lot of stuff
best
going on.
Best game ever. One of the best.
I know that game.
Yeah. Coming up on the show today, another warning to stop dressing like a hoochie.
Oh.
Ignore Nate.
hey, I'm not the one issuing the warning. I'm just telling you about it.
He'll take your picture if you do.
Damn, that was good, Ted.
Politicians say more things. And the Secret Service, their secrets aren't so secret anymore.
Ooh.
We'll explain all of those.
Ooh.
And more, and more, and more, more.
Oh, God.
What?
So we're taking a new turn.
Nate's just got weird. Porn.
Porn! Sorry.
Back.
Hey, let's get this out of the way at the head of the show for this time. Thank you to everyone who's been shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it. If you haven't been, here's how easy it is. You go to the website where you get the shows from, probably. Up at the top, there's a little tab that says Shop Amazon. You click that, it brings you right to Amazon.com. And then you just shop. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It helps support the show, and we do appreciate you doing it. And by the way, if you click that and it goes to that Amazon page, you can just bookmark that and just go back to that every time. It does the same thing. So you can cut it down to just one simple click to help support the show. Also want to mention again, because we haven't mentioned it in a while, Adam Carolla's fight against patent trolls goes on. If you want to donate, it's fundanything.com/patent troll. And there's a video that explains the whole thing. Basically, he's being sued by these patent trolls. And if they win against him, that could be the beginning of the end for podcasting as we know it. Just because once they get him, they went after him because he's the big one. He's the most downloaded podcast. So after him, it's going to be the next one, the next one, the next one. So if you love podcasts, go on. You can donate as much or as little as you want. But check it out. Patent trolls are a real, real problem. We've talked about it on the show before. But just want to mention that that's still out there. So the funding option keeps going out there. Let me just check as we record this where they are with anything. With fund... anything. Yeah, you just go right here. Let's see where he is. I know this is good pod, right?
Yay, pod.
Should I
pod.
Sing something or Cotton Eye Joe? Any requests?
No, it's how much would you like to contribute? Nothing right now. I just want to see where we are with this whole thing. Okay, I'll click listen now. Oh God, why is this so hard? Why is this so hard?
That's
internet?
What she.
Can you guys believe that crazy April Fool's Day joke that was pulled that fooled the entire internet?
Oh,
me
my God.
Either. It was crazy.
What a dupe.
I had no idea.
One that came out that actually fooled people, it came out the day before April Fool's Day, was that DeMarcus Cousins was going to release a rap album. And
I don't know who that is.
He's the center for our Sacramento Kings.
Okay. Sure.
As of the recording of this show, the Fund Anything defense is at just under $277,000.
How much do they need?
They don't have an end. It still bothers me. Out of what, dude?
It seems he's
going for a lot of money. Like he's probably going for $1 million.
Yeah, at least.
That's what the little green bar is telling me. But there's no.
Yeah, it's like a million.
Thermometer.
No goal stated. No. Mm.
Now, well, Fund Anything works differently because, and I listened to a thing, if not that I want to make this commercial for Fund Anything, but Fund Anything, unlike the others, they pay out daily. So basically every day they go through and they pay out. So they do business a little bit differently than Kickstarter does, because Kickstarter, if you don't reach your goal, you don't get anything.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really?
If you set up a goal on Kickstarter and you don't reach your goal, you get nothing.
Yeah. You get the fucked
up.
It doesn't charge because it doesn't charge your card.
Right.
You're basically pledging that if they hit goal, then your payment goes through.
Right. And
you don't pay anything.
Indiegogo, they do pay out if you don't reach goal, but it's at the end of your time period. And so a Fund Anything campaign, they do, because they pay out daily. So if you're doing a big project and you want to sort of have an ongoing fund that's coming in, you can actually set something in motion and start it in motion without waiting for the entire thing to be there. So that's how they work.
Oh.
So if you're wondering how they're different than all of the others, that's how they're different than all the others.
The more you know.
There you go. So it's a little tech talk with Nate.
Tech talk with Nate.
So I promised. So I mentioned on the Wednesday show that I went down to Southern California and left some blood on the pavement and felt some earthquakes. But the reason I went was to run a 5K at Angel Stadium, which started in the parking lot, then went out into the mean streets of Anaheim, not really mean streets of Anaheim, and finished up by going into Angel Stadium. We got to run around Angel Stadium from the right field corner down around behind home plate and out the left field corner. It was really cool.
Whee!
And one of the nice things was if you had somebody who went with you that was just there to support you, they opened up the stadium and said, go on in and get ready for them to come so you can take pictures. People were stopping and taking pictures of themselves. So it was kind of a cool thing. One of the weird things that happened is as we're going into the tunnel in the right field corner, and when you're running a 5K, especially one that's sort of a family thing, there's a lot of people that are walking. And they, for whatever reason, they don't have the walkers start at the back, which they really should.
No.
So you're constantly weaving your way through people who are walking. I mean, they're going to their thing. That's fine. But there's got to be a better way to set this up. So anyway, I'm going by these people, and we're going down the tunnel. And I know it's a narrow thing, and I'm like, my God, everything is slowing down. Like, I'm to the point where I'm walking now. And I'm going down. I'm like, why is this? There's this many walkers that are, you know, bottlenecking this badly. And I get down to the very bottom part, and there's this lady who's probably about 60 years old, lying flat on her back.
Oh, dear. Oh.
And I'm guessing her husband, who was there, like, looking over her. Our eyes were open, so she was awake and alert. And then I saw some other people coming in to sort of attend to her, see what needed to be done. But that was a little bit of a scary moment as I was going in. You know, right at the moment, I'm like, this is going to be so cool. Going to go into the stadium. It's like, oh, lady on the ground. It's such a conflicting thing. So I go in, I'm running around, and I didn't stop and take a picture because I just wanted to sort of take in the moment of, because I love the Angels and I love Angel Stadium, and I'm like, this is cool. It's my first time I'm on the field there, running around, I'm looking around, and we get almost out to the left field corner, and I only heard part of this. It was a male and a female, and they're running together, and I heard her say something, but I couldn't understand what she said. But I very clearly heard him say the following. I'm not here for a photo op.
as he's
going by me. Now, we're at basically mile three of a 3.1 mile race. By the way, my time was 33 minutes and 31 seconds.
That's
so
really good.
Nice.
It's not. It's okay. It's
go
okay,
with it. It's good.
It's like 11 minutes and 11 seconds a mile.
I would take it.
But this guy is just passing me at the end. Now, granted, he was probably weaving his way through walkers too, but if you're out at what is essentially a fun run, you're not. What are you? What sort of Olympic douchebag thing are you thinking you're qualifying for that you're so angry? Like, I'm not here for a photo op.
That's so funny though. That's like such a douchey thing to do. That's like some CrossFit fool.
That's like race rage.
No, the reality TV show line? I'm not here to make friends.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's
mission accomplished.
I heard the guy. I was just like, I cannot imagine the ride home in the car. Because that's one of those things where you know she was like, did you really have to be such a jerk? Listen, I went there to set a personal best. And then all of these people trying to hold me up.
Not here for a photo op. Didn't pay for that.
But I mean,
I love it.
As I look back, because I had a timing chip on my shoe, so it was officially timed and all that. But if I hadn't had to weave through people and hadn't had to slow down for the woman who might have died in the tunnel, I might have shaved a good 30, 45 seconds off my time. Do you have any idea how much farther up I would have placed?
No. Yeah. That's what happens when you're not a douchebag, mate. You fall behind.
So that was really amusing. But it was,
well, clearly the thing you need to make time in your training from now on to practice like hurdles. Because you just should have jumped right over that woman. Just cleared her with a single bound.
Well, if she would have been lying across, that would have been one thing. But she was lying lengthwise.
Yeah.
And I knew there was a problem because her head was at the opposite end. So it wasn't like somebody who'd fallen over backwards. It was, she had collapsed. She had obviously collapsed, but hopefully she's okay. But it was a really fun event. Later on that day, they had Fiesta Angels.
I had a friend, one of my good friends was there too. And I kept trying to see if, like, looking at both of your pictures to see if, like, anybody was in anybody's back, or looking in her picture to see if, like, you were in the background, because it would have been cool. I had another friend who ran the same race.
Oh, I didn't take any pictures.
And I was like, you guys should go and meet up.
What are Fiesta Angels?
Fiesta Angels was just meant to be this big celebration of the Angels because it was the last preseason game.
Oh.
And it turns out what they did was the day before they had signed Mike Trout, two-time MVP runner-up and American League Rookie of the Year, to a long-term extension with the Angels, which is kind of a big deal. So that was why I went back to Fiesta Angels, because they were having the announcement there. And it was kind of cool because he's 22. And up on the dais, it was the Angels manager, the general manager, their owner, the owner's wife, then Mike Trout, and then Mike Trout's parents. And at one point, they're gushing, you know, everybody's coming up, they're gushing about what a great kid Mike Trout is, how his head squared him. And the general manager comes up and he goes to Jeff and Debbie Trout, first of all, thank you for having him, which was hilarious. Mm. But it was kind of a cool event. And I made my exit when I heard the following thing said over the PA. Please stick around. Coming up next, we have music from, and then they said the name of the band, which I forget, a Santana tribute band. And I'm like,
I am out.
I mean, what else would you expect at Fiesta Angels? So I went, felt the earthquake somewhere else, and came back for the game that night. And as I was leaving the game, I'm in the parking lot looking for my rental car. And there are three people. There's two dudes, two bro dogs, and a woman. Now, these are people in their 30s. These are not in their early 20s. And this is when I hear a guy go, "What? You're going to walk away now? Where are you going to walk away now? I'm going to fight Todd. And I don't even have a problem with Todd, but I'll fight Todd."
What? Damn it, Todd.
And it's just, and Todd's just standing there like, "What?" Mm-hmm. And she's like, Screw you, immature guys. I'm out of here." And he's like, "What? You're going to walk away? Look, I don't really have a problem with Todd, and I'm going to fight Todd."
What is happening?
And she walked away.
It's the name of my next band. I'm going to fight Todd.
Well, the long and the short of it, not only did he never fight Todd, they became bros and went off together. Because that's how dudes work. That's
very romantic.
This is why y'all are... ridiculous.
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. But I was waiting to see if it, because I'm like out of the corner of my eye seeing, like, is he really going to fight Todd? Because that might be between me and my rental car. Am I going to have to run
Fiesta
over them? Yeah, I don't want to have to pay for extra stuff. Am I somehow going to get mixed into am I going to have to fight Todd? What's going on?
Why is Todd? What did Todd? I want to meet Todd. We're like, people don't even have a problem with you, but they will want to fight you.
Nice picture. By the way, I looked up her name. I beat her time by 7.5 minutes.
That's not her. Oh, okay. That's me at Angel Stadium, many years ago. Thank you.
Sorry.
I do look practically unrecognizable.
Can I see?
I just saw a picture of someone at Angel Stadium.
No, I saw that. I was like, were you running?
That was during the first Disneyland half marathon.
Nice.
That's
by the time I got
you
to Angel Stadium, I was going to die, which is why I stopped to take a picture.
Yeah, I see it.
I was thinner. I didn't have a kid. I had less time to work out.
Christiana,
I was single.
You run a marathon,
maybe I
too. Single.
I did run a marathon.
Something I have not. I don't think I will ever do.
There's no need to. I will never do it again either.
I may run a half. I don't know that I'll ever run a marathon. But it turns out they ended up walking off. He was like,
"Were they holding hands?"
He goes, "Ah, fuck it, Todd. She's a bitch." And then he put his arm around Todd's shoulder and they walked off together.
Aww.
It was a happy ending. So
it's a bromance.
I get in my car, and this is where I have to complain about the LA freeway system. And we've talked about this briefly. Mm. The carpool lanes down in Southern California, once you're in them, you cannot get out of them.
That's
it's
true,
next
true
to impossible.
Well,
so,
they let you out at the appropriate time.
No, not this time. So I go to get out of Angel Stadium, and I'm going out, and I can't turn left, so I have to go out to where it's only a carpool entrance onto the freeway. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll get on in the carpool lane, and I'll, as soon as I'm on the freeway, I'm off. Except you cannot get out of the carpool lane. I'm on I-5 in the carpool lane. I'm going down. There's no place to get out of the carpool lane at all. I can just exit the carpool lane and get off the freeway, but I can't get out of the carpool lane.
Womp, womp.
I end up in the carpool lane all the way to the 55, which is taking me back to my hotel. But I then have to, I'm in this, what is essentially an elevated trough of a lane that takes you up and around. And I'm like, I'm never getting out of the fucking carpool lane. Aww. I finally get dumped onto 55 and I have to cut immediately across five lanes of traffic like a douchebag to make my exit because that's the first time they let me out of the carpool lane. It was just the craziest thing. And I'm like, I'm going to get pulled over. I'm going to get pulled over by a cop for being in the carpool lane, and then I'm going to be screwed. I'm going to get a $241 ticket. I didn't get a ticket, thankfully, but anyway, that was the fun part of that. And then the next morning I get up, dealt with an issue at the Continental Breakfast, which I talked about on the Well Hung podcast that you can hear on Monday.
It's very racist.
Were you racist or were they racist?
I think they are.
Okay.
And I think they both are.
Oh. Oh.
All I have to say is conflict. All I have to say is I'm tired of hearing about the ugly American because there are ugly people from other countries that come here and do terrible things. Like, don't get in line. Anyway.
Oh, he's not talking about their ass. He's talking about their personality.
Yeah. They're assholes. Anyway, so get up and Sunday morning, beautiful day in Southern California. I get on the highway and I drove 75 miles an hour all the way through L.A. Mm-hmm. There was one accident where they got us off the freeway and brought us around
like,
it.
This one accident was mine.
But where I'm headed up I-5 and I see the L.A. skyline against a glorious blue sky. Mm. I'm going 75. And I'm just happy as can be. And I'm driving, and I get into the valley, and I've got these beautiful mountain vistas to my right. Mm. And I'm still going 75. I did not have to slow down at all the way through. It so made up for the trip down where I was going 8 miles an hour.
Yep.
It was sort of this weird karma-like thing. And then when I got up into the mountains, it was sprinkling. So it was kind of a weird thing.
But the wildflowers out in the grapevine? Because that's my favorite time of year to drive over.
They were not.
The hills are beautiful outside Gorman.
They were not out.
If there's rain.
And I came back up Highway 99 just for a...
That's fun.
It is. The problem with Highway 99, sorry for being so local for people, is that there's... When you come up I-5, there's not that many places to stop, and the places to stop aren't that appealing. It's like, there's a couple gas stations and a fast food joint. Eh. You come up 99, there's all of these weird, quirky places to stop, and like there's outlets, so I stopped at the outlets.
To Larry.
Yeah, I did. They weren't worth it.
Nope.
But now I know. I went to Costco and got gas. I got back on the road, and here's where my Fresno story that I promised. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna eat when I get to Fresno. That's what I'll do.
Yep.
And I punch into my GPS. I'm like, you know what I want? Because I had sort of a cheat weekend. I went off my eating plan. I'm like, you know what? I got one last meal like this. I want to go to Sonic. So I go to my GPS and I punch in Sonic and it says there's one 11 miles. And I go, that one. And I follow my GPS, and I'm almost to Fresno. I can see the skyline of Fresno, the beautiful skyline of Fresno. And it says, get off here, and I get off there, and it sends me on another freeway.
41?
I don't recall which one it was. I was just following the Australian lady.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it goes, transition on to this, and then to this. I ended up in Clovis.
Oh, damn it.
Never trust an Australian with directions.
That's why they did that voice, too.
I ended up in Clovis. Now, granted, the Sonic was not busy. The service was great, and the food was delightful. But I ended up in fucking Clovis.
I don't know if it's even worth it at that point.
I figured I'd come that far. By the time I realized how far out I was like, you know what? I'm having that fucking Sonic. And it was just one of those things I was going to do. And basically to get back to Highway 99, because this detour, as Highway 99 is headed north-northwest a little bit, this detour is taking me out to the east and around. And the road to bring me back, it's a straight shot, and it's 50 miles an hour, but there's stoplights all the way through it. So it took a while to get back. But anyway, my drive that started quickly ended up still taking me 8 hours to get back home. But yeah, not bad with all the stops.
And you got Sonic.
I got Sonic. Yeah. And I never have to stop at those outlets again.
You stopped in Tulare. Tulare's the best.
It is. They've got a Costco and just the craziest places. That's the nice thing about my GPS takes me through weird places because it doesn't like to backtrack.
Yeah.
Where I could turn
onward.
You could turn and go back a quarter of a mile and get back on the highway. Or we can go onward through this weird little that happened on the trip through Oregon last year. Pulled off at an outlets in Oregon, and it's like, go here. So we went through this little podunk town of 200 people that I would have never gone through. So it's kind of like an adventure GPS.
GPS just wants you to live a little.
It doesn't want to
admit you to get
it's
out
wrong.
There. The GPS is like, I have all this knowledge. It's never going to get used unless I make people go to these places.
You just called it the devil machine. Just describe the devil machine.
So that was my trip back and my Fresno story. Or Clovis, if you will. So now I've been to Clovis. So there's that.
So close to Fresno.
It is.
So far.
It is so fucking far away. But you have to go back through Fresno. It's like, and I said, the Univision is right next to all the luxury car dealers in Fresno.
Ooh.
So this I know. So Ted, you found this on the internets and passed it along to me.
I did.
OkCupid, the online dating site, is sort of blocking Firefox over their anti-gay CEO. If you are using Firefox and you log on to OkCupid, you will get this message. Hello there, Mozilla Firefox user. Pardon this interruption of your OkCupid experience. Please put your dick away. it doesn't say that. Mozilla's new CEO, Brendan Eich?
Eich? I don't know.
I'll just call him Ick. Brendan Ick is an opponent of equal rights for gay couples. We would therefore prefer that our users not use Mozilla software to access OkCupid, which is kind of a big deal to go ahead and do that.
It kind of is, yeah.
It goes on, politics is normally not the business of a website, and we all know that there's a lot more wrong with the world than misguided CEOs, so you might wonder why we're asserting ourselves today. This is why. We've devoted the last 10 years to bringing people, all people, together. If individuals like Mr. Ick had their way, then roughly 8% of the relationships we worked so hard to bring about would be illegal. Equality for gay relationships is personally important to many of us here at OkCupid, but it's professionally important to the entire company. OkCupid is for creating love. Those who seek to deny love and instead enforce misery, shame, and frustration are our enemies, and we wish them nothing but failure. Ooh. If you want to keep using Firefox, the link at the bottom will take you through to the site. However, we urge you to consider different software for accessing OkCupid. Now, Ick, who is the named CEO of Mozilla last week, was a supporter of Prop 8 here in California. It's a pretty big stand by the online dating company, which depends on regular usage by millions of accounts. It's still, it's still possible to get by scrolling through. But it's weird to see a web company actively discouraging traffic for political reasons. It's a tech company daring to be a little bit different. It's very rare. And I think probably a good thing. So there you go. Something a little different.
Hmm. Imagine it must be. I mean, I know I saw someone on Facebook who generally keeps up with the news. I thought I didn't know anything about the whole Mozilla thing until he happened to go to OkCupid. So I thought, wow, that's interesting. That's actually making an impact and getting some information out there. That's a pretty ballsy move on their part. Because I'd be a little jarred to kind of go to a website and say, oh, the browser you're using is politically incorrect or something like that. But I agree with their stance. It's just a pretty ballsy move.
It's weird though, because your immediate thing might be like, wait a minute, do I have a virus? What is this? What's going on here? This seems weird.
Yeah.
So to go down to the comments, I like the comments. Sam Biddle, who has the name Euroballer, says, like, Ick would give a damn about this. I'm sorry. The Euroballer says this is Sam Biddle. Sam Biddle's the moderator, says, I bet he does. There are a lot of people who use OkCupid and probably don't keep track of who the CEO of the Mozilla Foundation is. And the bigger thing is not necessarily that this happened. I mean, this is a big deal, but we're talking about it. Within a week or so, it'll be on the Today Show.
Right.
And then it's going to get a lot more notice. And then a lot more people will stop using Mozilla products like Firefox, et cetera, et cetera.
And then the Chick-fil-A PR people are like, oh, man, they're going to start talking about us again now, aren't they? Who
still uses Firefox? Like, I use Safari or Google Chrome. Like, Firefox is slowly dying anyways.
I have Firefox at work.
Yeah, me too.
But I use Chrome on my phone / whatever the internet is. I don't know. I have no idea what browser it is on my phone that's like pre-built. It just says internet.
OkCupid is like Facebook for lonely people. And so it's like just as addictive as
Isn't
addicting.
Facebook for lonely people?
No, Facebook is, yeah, I guess romantic lonely, not friends lonely. Yeah, because I've seen people that are like just as addicted to their OkCupid profile as they are their Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go back every few minutes. Does someone love me?
Yeah.
No.
It kind of sucks when no one clicks on you or wants to. Yeah, I had it for a very brief moment. I was not successful.
I have been on OkCupid. I actually met my friend Selena, who I dated for a few months on OkCupid. But it's for the most part, it was. I went out on several single dates with people where it was like, okay, whatever. And that's kind of the way normally you'd meet people in social situations and you would know from that very first meeting, you're like, oh, this is someone I have nothing in common with. But when you're doing online dating, you usually have to, you end up going out and having dinner or drinks or whatever. And then you're like, oh, I don't really need to see them ever again.
Yeah.
So that's how most of it went. But I mean, everything's a numbers game when you're talking about dating and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I did one date. It was either like a Craigslist or a Match.com or something. I don't know. San Francisco, it was a long time ago. Craigslist was a more legitimate source of like dating.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I knew Craig. We went to the same coffee place. I felt like it was an okay place to go for, I don't know. Anyway.
No shame.
I went to, I went on a date with a guy at a bar down the street in my neighborhood. And he got there like kind of late and he'd obviously been rushing and it was cold as it was San Francisco in like the summer. It was freezing outside and foggy. And inside it was like a 10 million degree bar. And so he sat down and he just started like sweating a lot.
Oh, no.
And then he's like, oh, great. Now I'm going to be like that guy who sweat on the first date. And we're like, ha 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 ha. But as it turns out, yes, you were.
Oh, poor guy. I don't know. I think just dating is awkward and I don't know how to date in general. But then online dating, my friends are always like, why don't you do like OkCupid? I'm like, I tried. I don't look good on paper. Like, it's just not my thing. I really just don't look good on paper. I've accepted it.
That should be the opening line of your dating profile. I do not look good on paper.
You see that picture? It looks a lot better in the dark. That's when I get my most compliments.
Aww.
That's sad, right?
It's been a sad.
That's
sad
a good bit. Sexy line, though.
Yeah.
In the dark, that's where I get the most compliments. That's good.
I actually have a bit about that because I've actually gotten complimented several times at night. Granted, they're homeless. But I take whatever I can get. One time I was complimented by a gay boy at a club, and I was like, sweetie, you're just drunk. But I'll take it.
And polite.
Drunks.
Just one quick thing.
Yes,
Firefox has approximate 20% market share among browsers, just to put it out there. 20%.
Yeah, 20%.
It's not bad. Yeah,
that's a pretty big number for them.
How many? Firefox is 20%, really.
That's what it says on Stack Counter. Number one is Chrome.
Yes,
followed
really.
By IE is slightly ahead of Firefox.
IE,
Chrome.
Really? Still?
IE still?
I know, but some people have to use it for their applications.
Okay, oh, yeah.
You know, like in the business world.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a reason for it. But anyway, yeah. But I'm a Chrome user personally. Anyway. Fun fact, I'm done.
No, cool.
I hope OkCupid wins.
Speaking of, they're always going to win.
They'll be fine.
There'll be another date. There's more quizzes you can take there. The quizzes, and you can answer questions about yourself.
Oh,
I learned a lot about myself answering those questions. I'm like, well, do I care about that? I mean, I guess I'd try it. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of...
Try homeless guy.
I love the part where you can match people up by like sex questions.
Oh.
And then you can like, you could like sort out to see what they answered for the sex questions.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay, I need to reevaluate this OkCupid.
Yeah, so you can sort of compare how you answered the same question. You have to see their answer, you have to have answered the same question. And it's just really, really kind of interesting, kind of the when you answer the questions, you choose is this important? Yes, no, maybe, or something like that. So and then it'll highlight in red if it doesn't match up. So the biggest one that I've noticed is like, could you date somebody who's had a same sex relationship or homosexual relationship? And I of all of the women I've seen answer that question, I would say 90% of them say no. But if you ask guys the same question, could you have a relationship with someone with a female instead of homosexual experience? The answer is yes, about 90%.
Hell yes.
Well, I mean, if you say no to that, I mean, especially in like Midtown nowadays, you're taking out like 70% of the dating pool if you do that.
Oh. You mean in terms of women?
Yeah, because
what are you complaining about? If you've got 70% of the straight women and all of the gay women to choose from, where's your complaint lie?
Well, first off, the 70% are bi, and all women are 100% crazy. That's you really want to break down the percentages, and they're all. Fucking relationships or some shit, or you know, like
it's complicated.
Okay, I want to ask you, I want to tell you a joke and ask you if you think it's true, because I heard this joke from a friend of mine.
A joke or a statistic?
From a lesbian friend of mine.
Some of my friends are lesbians.
She said, she's like, what do lesbians bring to a second date?
A U-Haul.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yes.
I mean, I was like, it was like month two, because of the other month I was living in Florida. But yeah, like,
wow.
No, it really is. And I actually broke it down into like a psychological, sociological reasoning to it. And okay, be patient. It's still in the works, obviously. I haven't finished my thesis paper on it. But it's basically like women, because you feel like, you know, if you're with the same gender, you just relate more on like social like things that you grew up on, so you can relate more. So when you date a woman, you just feel automatically closer. You have that emotional closeness and understanding. So, and also when women are together and they have all those hormones, they're like, I like you too. We constantly let's spend all our fucking time together is basically what happens. And you don't realize it's happening until all your shit is in the fucking apartment, you're paying rent, and you realize, fuck, I don't want to actually live with this person.
No.
Oh,
so it's the whole process. Because when you really like someone, or like your best friend, you want to spend all your time with them.
That's true.
And then, you know, it's like, oh, I'm already crashing. You might as well leave a toothbrush. Might as well leave that.
That's how it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, except instead of just one woman, it's both of them doing it. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
It becomes
bathroom full of double the crazy.
It's like having two magnets that you put together, and it's like boom, and then they're stuck.
Yeah,
and as you said, it's really hard to wiggle them apart.
You notice how some lesbian couples look alike?
Yeah,
they start looking. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I think we've all learned something today.
Wow.
Shit.
Heard about lesbians and browser market shares.
Porn, because those are porn. Because they're all related.
It's all. Google
porn,
that shit.
Porn, lesbian, browser market shares.
Well, Ted, what browsers do lesbians use generally? I'm just kidding. Never mind.
Firefox, because of the
Firefoxy.
Because it's foxy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have some more knowledge to drop on you. Minnesota State Patrol says if you drive drunk, you will get caught, especially if you're driving a giant piece of construction equipment down a sidewalk. According to the State Patrol, 27-year-old Dustin Lundy of Proctor, Minnesota, was recently arrested after driving a stolen Caterpillar excavator on a Duluth sidewalk. He was also allegedly drunk with a blood alcohol content, twice the legal limit. A trooper spotted him in a backhoe. near Superior Street and Michigan Avenue, just after 3:30 a.m. on an undisclosed date, because that's the part you want to keep secret. He allegedly admitted to stealing the excavator. He was charged with theft of a motor vehicle, possession of stolen property, and second degree DWI. So, to be fair, long cold winter in Duluth. Long cold winter. Mm-hmm.
You could have at least stolen a snowplow and like done something fucking productive.
Well, with a backhoe, I mean, he could have cleared some snow. Yeah. He might have been on his way to do that.
That's fair.
Well, drinking isn't just for the weird people with excavators. Three Secret Service agents on President Obama's Amsterdam trip were sent home after they partied so hard that one agent ended up passed out drunk in a hotel hallway.
Drunk or high? Never mind.
Says drunk.
Okay.
Unlike a certain Cartagena trip, the misconduct appears to be technical.
No hookers.
It appears to be technical. Secret Service regulations say that agents on official trips are prohibited from drinking alcohol within 10 hours of duty. Although Obama didn't arrive in the Netherlands until Monday.
Always gets me. Classic. Sorry.
The agents violated the rule drinking late Saturday night because they had a classified briefing on Sunday. And also because one of them passed out in the hallway. That's according
Damn.
To...
they party hard.
Yeah.
He apparently couldn't get his key to work, but...
is it like... never mind.
Well, it's hard to say.
You said unlike Cartagena, so I guess literal key, not...
According to the Washington Post, the hotel staff, quote, alerted the U.S. Embassy in the Netherlands after finding the unconscious guest Sunday morning, a day before Obama arrived in the country. Obama and other world leaders had gathered in the Netherlands to formally oust Russia from the G8. That happened. So
I heard this story on like the Today Show or something in the morning, and as I was listening to it, I picked up my phone just to look at Facebook in the morning, and the first post I saw is from a friend of mine. It was my first roommate in Sacramento. Her husband is a Secret Service agent on the A-team, which is the presidential team. Mm-hmm. And so her thing was just like, it wasn't Sean.
Damn. Call out.
Well, yeah, you got to put that out there because you know.
Everybody's like, who? Was it him?
Seriously, she had to get at least a dozen people hitting her up before you post that.
Yeah.
Like, no, it wasn't. Fuck off. So I know I'm the only one who watched the first season of True Detective in this room. Right? Right.
I don't have HBO.
Everyone should watch True
nice
Detective.
Nice boob shot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you take that one too?
No.
Okay.
This is on the website because next season, whole new cast, whole new setting, and Kate Mara and Ellen Page are lobbying hard to star in the next season of True Detective on HBO.
I would watch that.
Yeah. Series creator Nick Pizzolatto hinted that True Detective season 2 might be female centric. Every actress in Hollywood has been checking their phone for a voicemail from his number. Some of them have been taken to admirably pandering to HBO to become the next Rust and Marty. Ellen Page tweeted, favorite hobbies, reading, playing the guitar badly, flirting with at Kate Mara.
Damn.
Who then responded, at Ellen Page, hashtag True Detective Season 2, and posted a picture of them together. HBO liked the idea and favorited the tweets.
What does it all mean?
Yeah, well, then Kate Mara goes, dear at Ellen Page, what does this mean? You think they like the idea of two tiny detectives?
Oh, it's like Veronica Mars.
Hold me closer, tiny detective. No, it doesn't work.
Ellen Page replied, at Kate Mara, I think that's basically the equivalent of a signed contract. I'll see you in rehearsals.
That's cute.
I'm like in love with her.
Oh, I know. That's why that made the show.
I watched the end of Whip It the other day, and I was like, this movie's really good. Have you seen that one?
No.
You haven't? Little Roller Derby, Ellen Page?
Oh my God, what is this on Netflix?
My
world
know.
Just stopped. I'm like, holy shit. Sorry, I gotta go. I got shit to do tonight.
Uh-huh. It might be. I don't know. It's like a Drew Barrymore directed. It's really
cute.
Oh my God,
cute. It got better.
Yeah. But it's got everybody. It's all, it's,
wait,
it's very
whip
like,
it?
It's called Whip It.
Like,
whip it. Good.
Like, whip it real good.
Whip it real good.
Not like the dog.
Not a whip it.
Not whip it.
Whip it.
Apply a whip to
it's
it.
It's like a
is it
roller
whip
derby
it's like
move.
A drug too, or like you just inhale the. I thought that's what you were saying.
No.
I don't know.
No, in roller derby, the goal is to score points by passing a person past the other team, and they call it whipping them past.
Yeah, so that's what
I feel like I should.
It's
join
really
one
good.
Of those.
You should watch the movie though. At least it's adorable and very like girl power, and Ellen Page is cute. And
oh my
gosh, got like Kristen Wiig, and
you
still
met Ellen Page.
I have the
I'm
DVD.
Just, like, dreaming about
I'll
it
bring
right
the
now.
DVD next week.
Oh, good, done, awesome, right. Thank you. I have something to look forward to. My life isn't over.
You know, there's a roller derby team in the Sacramento area. There's
I
many
think
of them.
They would demolish me.
Aw, you could be like, kind
you
of
could
evade
be a cheerleader.
Them. Use your golf skills to get through it all.
Okay, so many things going on right now. Use golf skills. Be a cheerleader, really, Nate? Cheerleader?
Yeah, with a golf club. I've combined the two.
I said cheer.
Winner.
They act. We decide. Cool or two.
Whoa.
I missed
the it's all
whoa.
Gone. Gone a whoa. Little more hipster.
The Becca air is over. Deal with it.
Yeah. All right, at first.
That was harsh. Sorry, everyone. I get this here every day, so I'm not as hurt by it, I guess.
I feel weird.
Oh, you're still here. All right.
Oh, shit, forgot about you.
First up in Cooler Tool, Minnesota, Ted.
I, Sure, it's cool. It's pretty cold in the winter. I really.
I'm just thinking about Ellen Page. I don't know what we're talking about.
Diana, Minnesota.
I think it's cool. It's a little chilly. Yeah, like it's cool.
Christiana.
In that movie, Ellen Page is wearing like a Girl Scout costume.
Oh shit!
It's really short.
Oh, damn, I missed out on the cookies too this year.
Please stop. I'm gonna have to get a new chair.
It's got a little misty down there.
Oh my god. Wow. Minnesota is cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Up next in Cooler Tools, sending people home. Sending people home, Diana.
Cool. Sometimes you shouldn't be there.
Christiana?
It's great. Yes, cool.
Ted?
Yes, send people home. It's cool.
I think it's kind of Tool. Just tell them to take a couple days, enjoy the Netherlands, and then think about what they've done wrong. I mean, you're gonna have to pay more to change their trip and send them back. I mean,
it's just tax dollars.
Yeah, the hotel's already paid for. I mean, come on.
That's a reward. Like, sorry, you can't work. Just sit here
Sit here and think about what you've done.
I never understood grounding your kids. I thought that was the dumbest thing that parents could do.
Oh no, it sucks to be grounded. You can't go anywhere.
I got an A+ on my history project because I made a steamboat out of popsicle sticks and toothpicks.
Because you stayed home?
Yeah, because I was grounded. My parents decided they wanted to ground me for once instead of beat my ass. So,
okay, if you're getting your ass beaten, then being grounded is a luxury, I understand.
Yeah,
that.
It was
okay.
Awesome.
Now I get it.
White kids got it great.
No white kid's ever been beaten.
Yeah, that's
never happened.
Ever. And finally in Cooler Tool, lobbying for things. Christiana.
Cool. It's fine. It's great.
Diana?
Cool.
Ted?
Well, I just watch House of Cards, so sometimes it crosses the line. But generally speaking, yeah, it's cool.
It seems desperate at times to do it, but I think if it's done in good fun and you're not running guns on the side, lobbying is fun.
If
lobbying
you're under,
cool.
like, 5'4", you can pretty much get away with anything.
Yeah, well, if you're...
You're so small and cute.
If you're a cute girl under 5'4", you can get away with a lot of stuff. Oh. If you're a dude under 5'4", you can't get away with as much.
I don't know. I heard Martin Short murdered a guy once.
That was Matthew Broderick.
Oh, it was.
And he didn't murder, technically. It was manslaughter.
Involuntarily manslaughter.
Yeah, it happened. It was in Ireland, so it doesn't count.
Oh, dear.
Anything goes in Ireland.
I read this next story, and it just made me go, no, 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 no. Because it's 2014.
Not everywhere.
No.
In Israel, it's 5636 or something? Is that what you meant?
Yes, that is what I meant.
I have no idea that's true.
It happens.
Those were very bad times.
A little delay on that one. Well, in Richmond, Virginia, there's still no sign of compromise between Governor Terry McAuliffe and Republican leaders in the House of Delegates over whether Virginia should accept federal Medicaid funds in order to order expanded health insurance coverage for as many as 400,000 residents. Now, the two sides met last week to discuss the upcoming special legislative session and said there'd be no movement in the issue. The impasse over Medicaid expansion led the General Assembly to adjourn earlier in the month without passing a roughly $96 billion budget. If the stalemate continues past July, it could lead to a state government shutdown. McAuliffe wants to expand Medicaid eligibility while House Republicans oppose it. Meanwhile, Senator Frank Ruff, Republican from the 15th District, is taking some heat for using the term tar baby during a speech on the Medicaid debate.
What the fuck's a tar baby?
To the Chamber of Commerce. He told the Virginian Pilot he didn't mean anything racial by it, insisting he used the term to indicate it's a sticky situation.
Nope. Then you could have just said it's a sticky situation. Which is already a metaphor or something.
Yeah. Governor McAuliffe said, oh, horrible comments. I know he's apologized, but there's no place in the debate that we're having today for use of that kind of language. It's 2014. Do not use the fucking term tar baby anymore for anything unless there is literally a baby in tar. In which case, there is a larger problem afoot. No, you cannot use that term anymore.
All I know of that term is like vague memories of maybe having seen an illicit copy of Song of the South at some point.
Yeah,
isn't it like Brer Rabbit kind of story of something?
Absolutely.
I still don't know what
absolutely
it is.
You'll have to Google it later. I'm not going to discuss the origins.
What I'm saying is like that's such a weird term. Like it's been so long. Like I feel like that. I mean,
I remember hearing when I was a little kid having relatives tell stories like that that had tar baby in them. But it didn't necessarily have a racial component to it, or at least nothing I understood, because being in Vermont, there were no black people. But
I can get it what it is now.
Oh, OK.
Oh, dear.
Delayed reaction. Speaking of racism, earlier this month, a banner reading "Japanese only" hung inside a stadium, Satayama Stadium 2002. The incident led to the Urawa Red Diamond soccer team being punished. The team was forced to play in an empty stadium. That's right, the team punished for the actions of insensitive fans. Reports that the Urawa president said fans hung the banner so foreigners would not sit in the section behind the goal, which is considered sacred ground by diehard fans. It says in Japanese, and then below it in English, Japanese only. I don't think the fans who put the banner there realize how serious it would be taken. An Urawa fan told the media, "If it happened in Europe with a racist banner, it'd be normal for you to be punished."
What? Huh?
Well, Europe's known for its racism.
Okay.
In soccer stadiums, like they throw bananas at black players.
Oh, that's right.
What?
I heard about
where?
That.
Where? Europe
in
is
Spain.
Europe, I was going to say Eastern Europe is a large place. Like it's, where in Europe?
In Czechoslovakia.
A lot of different places. I know specifically it's happened in Spain.
Okay.
So I think they should be forced to. I think if you use the term tar baby, you should be forced to do everything alone with no one around you ever.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
For a specified period of time.
Fair.
So that's my punishment. This is now a thing. It sounds really American, but it's not. It's British. 10,000 calorie burger within a burger is now a thing.
Burkin.
Dangerous.
Please describe this to me in full detail.
It looks disgusting.
It's called the Ultimatum, which contains 10,000 calories.
10,000 calories. That's obscene.
That's just your average Friday night at a claim jumper.
Here's what from the bottom up, here's what it is. A bottom bun, tomato, lettuce, cheese, burger, bun, and then another complete burger, which is two buns and another burger with a slice of cheese in the middle. On top of that, a slice of cheese and another bun, then tomato, lettuce, cheese, another burger, and a bun topper. So if you're counting, that is four patties, four pieces of cheese. Of
that's
course
just
the
4x4. You get that in and out.
Is that
Britain? We did that way long time ago, and ours is better.
That so the whole thing is about the size of her head.
Wait, what's the middle part? Is what? It's the weird funky burger.
I think it's like a
cheese
cheeseburger.
Oh,
it's
okay.
it's a formed.
Oh, I see.
It's a fully formed cheeseburger.
So
in the middle.
This is in Britain.
It is in Britain.
So
yes.
They have man versus food in Britain now. They're just starting to catch on.
Or Great Britain. So
that's just Britain. There's nothing great about that.
The owner of Miss Eaters said, that's the name of the place, said, "I couldn't eat it. I haven't even been tempted yet. It's so massive."
That is literally what she said.
Yes. There must.
I can't handle that much meat in one sitting.
Oh, my God. Applause break. That was literally.
And perfect use of the word.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was fucking.
There must be someone in this country who wants to try it. They're more than welcome. The burger is free if you're able to finish it all at once.
You'll die if you eat that much at one time.
But all that's left is gristle and fat. Anybody?
I mean,
right outdoors.
I want to try it. Like, I'm going through this. I go through phases when I get, like, in my sad place where I like do shit
that's your name for your vagina, your sad place.
No, that's disgusting because you didn't hear the rest of the story. That's disgusting.
Sorry.
I do stupid shit that's like impossible, but I'm like, I just want to accomplish, like, last time I was really sad, I went and did the pho challenge, which is, I think I have to re-Google this, but it's either a pound of noodles and a pound of meat, or two pounds of noodles and 2 pounds of meat. I think it's 2 pounds total. So
That's a lot.
That's a lot of pho.
That is a lot
and,
of pho.
And then the Hot Wing Challenge in San Jose.
Okay, that's
didn't complete that. No, 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 no. That was I was pissing lava.
Oh, well, no, no, no. It's hard. I'm not saying it's not hard, but it's not a quantity challenge. It's a hot challenge.
No, that's what I thought. I thought I could accomplish this one. And it was the worst. I was in fetal position for 8 hours.
Now, is this the same place they did on Man vs. Food?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they made it hotter than Man vs. Food because it was actually black when I got it. Like, my friend was standing behind me, and she could smell the spice.
Oh.
And I can't drink milk, and so I was drinking beer to make it better. And
No, it doesn't make it better.
No, and I accidentally touched my face when I was because my eyes were, like, I was washing my hands. Afterwards, I touched my It was
He did too in the show. He did too.
Stupid.
They cut to this weird scene outside. He was outside, like his eyes. What they were like dumping milk in his eyes because he accidentally touched his.
Yeah, it's horrendous. But anyways, yeah. So I feel like I can try that. That was the whole point of the story.
Field trip.
Did you finish the 2 pounds of noodles and 2 pounds of beef?
Okay, that was not a fair assessment.
Wait, it wasn't fair?
No, it was because there's. Here's the thing. You have to do a trick because it's hot, so you have to dump it, like dump ice in there to cool it down so then you can consume everything. Well, I didn't do that trick, and so it was too hot, and then the noodles soaked up all the broth. Mm. And I don't like onions, so I had to eat around the onion. It was just a mess.
Maybe it wasn't the challenge for you.
It was not.
Well, this burger.
Well,
do it.
If you don't want to do the challenge, but you do like to see it, Mrs. Clarkson's husband, John, is prepared to cook the different sections for 20 pounds, but you have to put them together for yourself.
I could make my own. I could make burgers for my family and just put them all together in a stack.
Yeah,
and is it family style? Cut off a piece.
Or you could go to England.
I mean, I'd do that. That's not really.
And deal with all that
for me. That's not that big a deal.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Or you can just go to England and do it. Pay someone else to do that shit for you.
Done.
Yeah, it's what we do.
Rob is seriously considering going to England for a Raiders game in September.
What?
I wouldn't go to Oakland for a Raiders game.
Not really. Well, I mean, okay. Well, he's more from there. It's right. possible that. But our friends are going for that. Well, they're going because they've been planning to go to England and they're huge Raider Nation people.
Sure.
Wait, and so they're like, this is fun. They're doing an exhibition game over there. It's like Raiders Colts or something.
Is it an exhibition? Because there was a regular season game.
Oh,
last year.
You're right. It is a regular season game.
Oh,
they're just playing a game in England, trying to win more fans.
Yeah.
But I want to see. I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, that's right.
I really want like a Logger Louts versus Raider Nation fight. I don't. I do not know who would win. But I don't want to be there.
It would be fun to watch on
it
TV.
Would be bloody.
I need to renew my passport. That reminds me. That expires this summer.
Oh shit!
Time to renew it.
I need to get one and like pretend I actually travel.
Aw.
Well, I got mine just to go to Canada. Really, that's the reason why.
Canada.
I may go somewhere else at some point. You don't know.
I want to go to Mexico.
I won't go to Florida. Well, I don't need one to go to Florida.
So you should need one to go to Florida. They should talk about that. Except for Publix, that fucking grocery store, man.
Headline.
Heaven on earth.
Video camera watches plantation man's backyard despite his objection. See, a camera keeps a watchful eye on John Gambino's plantation property from atop a 12-foot pole. The camera's not his, it's his neighbor's, which fuels a dispute over property rights and privacy that plays out time and time again across South Florida. There's little police and cities can do. Your neighbors can take video of your property as long as they don't set out to violate your privacy. A Florida voyeurism law says it's your right to privacy extends to any part of your home where you undress and feel comfortable someone isn't recording, such as your bathroom or your bedroom. But the law doesn't put everything off limits from being reported. Neighbors can still record your yard, the exterior of your house, or anything else on your property that's in public view. Quote, you have the right to use your property the way you see fit, and that could include cameras. According to Howard Finkelstein, who's Broward's public defender, if the camera is pointed at the neighbor's front door, the right of the homeowners to have the cameras trumps the neighbor's privacy. The practice of neighbors recording neighbors has become commonplace as more homes are equipped with surveillance cameras that are increasingly affordable and reliable. In North Miami Beach, police are currently monitoring a case similar to that. Many times the installation of this video surveillance system is a direct result of the neighbor dispute where some claim of retaliation by one neighbor against another neighbor is alleged. So why can't we all just get along?
Because we're recording each other.
That's right.
That's a little creepy.
It is. But hey, you can do that in Florida.
Oh, Florida.
Well, it gets better. A Florida woman is suing Volusia County and the city of New Smyrna Beach after police officers forced her to poop in her front yard. and undress in front of them while he searched her house for meth.
There's a picture of the poop, everybody.
I don't think that's the actual poop.
I don't. It's a picture. Is it really that forced?
Dawn Brooks says officers brought her outside in handcuffs, then refused her request to use the bathroom indoors. They told her to just use the restroom right here in the front yard, which the plaintiff did.
Okay.
Brooks claims that instead of helping her clean herself up and get dressed again, remember she was handcuffed, the officers had her stripped down and put on a plastic jumpsuit, laughing and yelling at her the whole time. Court documents don't say whether police found the meth they were reportedly looking for. Her complaint alleges the officers violated the Fourth Amendment rights and that the city failed to adequately train the cops who searched her house. Judge Roy Dalton Jr. dismissed her initial claims, saying she failed to show the need for training was, quote, plainly obvious and didn't specifically explain how her rights were violated. So we'll see
really?
How that goes.
It wasn't explained at all why her rights were violated?
Maybe she needs a lawyer.
This is,
maybe she needs
this
money.
Is why I hate cops. I'm not a cop fan.
But we hadn't gathered that.
Oh, really?
bad cops.
Well, I mean, when they're coming, first of all, if they're searching your house for meth, they're probably not going to let you run back into your bathroom because that's probably where you've stashed your meth.
In your butt.
Obviously not in your butt, but maybe in the bathroom, maybe in the toilet tank. Who knows? But if they're searching your house for meth, they're probably not going to let you roll in there. So, anyway, it's a sad state of affairs in Florida, so don't go.
Unless you're going to Publix. It's so worth it. You know what? Fuck all these Florida corner stories.
Is that the only state where they have a Publix?
I think so.
Ted, could please look that up while I'm going through this.
I want to say maybe Georgia.
Was it Publix?
Yes.
All right.
It's like Publix.
Oh, my God. But it's so... You guys, those sandwiches...
Yeah,
sandwiches.
You can't get sandwiches anywhere.
No, not these sandwiches. God damn it, Nate! You're missing the point.
Now, Christiana, you're a lawyer. Are you familiar with Loyola Law School?
Yes, I am.
Well, they have warned female students against cleavage and hooker heels at work. Memo to female law students: do not expose your breasts and do not wear spike heels. The missive from Los Angeles's Loyola Law School warns women working for class credit at law firms, judges' chambers, and government agencies to avoid looking like a hooker when reporting for duty. Quote, I really don't need to mention that cleavage and stiletto heels are not appropriate office wear outside of ridiculous lawyer TV shows, do I? Yet I'm getting complaints from supervisors, said an email from a school that was obtained by legal news website Above the Law. It goes on, your reputation in the legal community starts now. The legal community is small in L.A., and judges and lawyers who have unprofessional experiences with externs talk freely amongst themselves about the experiences. It can be embarrassing.
That's true.
Above the Law noted that there are no corresponding dress guidelines for men.
That's because men don't have the same kind of dressing challenges.
That's true.
There's not going to be the same kind of...
Or cleavage showing for men.
Yeah, there's not going to be the same kind of...
They go on, we'd love to know how many complaints were received. This information needed to be presented to students in such an incredibly condescending way. That's according to the site.
I don't think it's... Well, it's their... They included the word hooker. I didn't read through to see if the...
Yeah, I didn't
if
read
the
above
person
law,
actually included the word hooker. Assuming that they... I think using the word hooker would not be appropriate. Everything aside from that... That's fine.
Professional dater?
I just want to read the complaint. Like, this extern came in. Their cleavage was way too distracting. I couldn't concentrate because all I wanted to do was stare. And then that was their... Like, I don't know. I get it. Like, you have to dress professionally. But, like, writing the complaint, like, yeah, their attire or their clothes is too distracting. Like, it's up to you to stay focused.
I don't know. I don't think I would say... I wouldn't say distracting, but I mean, I run into this with some of my high school students. Like, you need to wear stuff that is conducive to movement, which a lot of times, like, overly tight stuff and stiletto shoes make you look like an idiot because you cannot walk in them.
That's true.
And if you're slipping and sliding on the marble floors of the courthouse, you're not going to be taken seriously.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be amusing. But no, I mean, it's not about distraction. I think it is. I've seen people wear stupid stuff, and I do make fun of it, and other people talk about it. So if you don't want to be discussed for the wrong thing, then you should just dress a little bit more. It's not about, you don't have to dress like a nun. You don't have to wear turtlenecks and stuff. But there is, like, an appropriate amount of boob you should be showing at any point in time.
How much boob should you be showing?
Slightly less than what probably some of these girls were showing, which is what generated the thing.
But
you definitely
you wouldn't even show.
I don't either. But you definitely are like establishing, these are very small insular worlds, you know. Any profession is, like, I'm sure TV is, writing is, comedy is, law is, everything's its own, like, subculture/community. So if you get the reputation as, like, the girl who's either trying to score points with how she looks or doesn't recognize that she looks like a ninny when she's wearing towering shoes that she doesn't know how to walk in, that's just not, you don't want to get settled with that because you will be taken less seriously, rightly or wrongly. Mm-hmm. Like, well, be taken seriously and then you can, you know. Then you can lower or like raise your hemline a little bit after you've achieved some measure of professional success.
Well, I think the corresponding thing would be like if you were a male lawyer and you showed up wearing like some Vans, but you're like, these are my really nice Vans.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Like a Tommy Bahama shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not only that, but you're wearing like a really loudly patterned tie and your suit pants are nut huggers.
I mean, I've had male attorneys who show up to like a pre-hearing settlement conference and they're wearing like a faded polo that's not tucked in and some rumpled jeans or whatever.
What?
And you're what are you doing?
Silicon Valley.
You don't tuck in a polo. Come on.
Not like they look dumpy. They get known for that.
Yeah.
People get talked about if they're dressed frumpily, if they're dressed too, like if their clothes are too tight and ill fitting. If they can't walk in their shoes,
it's like lawyers are judgy.
It is like, and well, so we're, and judges are judgy too.
And lawyery. So.
If you make that much money, please dress accordingly. Like I get if you're poor, you can't, but if you're a lawyer, you can make the money.
Well,
ish esque after law school payments.
Yeah, I would say like eventually, not all lawyers make. If you look at the distribution of salaries, it's sort of a common misconception that everybody graduates law school and goes on to their starting $180,000 a year job and lives happily ever after. CEG, my 1998 pickup truck that I still drive. So
I have a Publix update if we want to know where they operate.
Where are they, Ted?
They have 1,080 stores serving Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Alabama. And they're a private and employee-owned company. That means that it's wholly owned by president and past employees.
There you go.
It's like a commune.
Sort of.
Is that how? Like, no, it's not like a commune. That's cool.
It's like a commune.
Oh my gosh. Like okay, so I'm moving to the South.
Oh God. I'm sure of it, right?
In Virginia?
I don't know if that's true.
In Virginia, they have grocery stores called, it's Giant, but they're referred to as the G or the Super G.
Super G.
Which I was like, I'm going to the G, yo.
Down with
going
the G?
To the G spot.
It's the spot, yeah, that's right.
Shit.
It's exciting. Stimulating shopping.
Speaking of places where there's Publix, headline, naked Alabama man climbs pine tree to make it his home.
That and the picture.
He's got a look about him.
it's the look of the devil.
His name is Michael Howard Long.
He's got three names. You know he cray.
Yep.
Shit, it's real.
He's an allegedly drugged up nude dude. He wanted to make a tree his home. He's 40. Allegedly over the weekend, he climbed a 40-foot pine tree in Arab, Alabama, or as they probably pronounce it, Arab, without wearing any clothes, which sounds painful. He pleaded guilty to public lewdness, according to local media. Basically, all he would tell the officers was he was cleaning the tree up and was going to make it his home.
I'm doing the bathroom renovations. God, you guys.
In the forest, every tree is a bathroom. Police found the naked man high up in the branches while responding to a 911 call at 5 a.m. on a Saturday regarding a suspicious man. They contacted the fire department to assist because of all their experience with cats and trees. He refused to climb down, so authorities used a bucket truck to chop down the branches so they could reach him. After an hour of negotiations...
I was hoping you were going to say they squirted him with a hose because that's what we're going to cats.
He finally agreed to get on board the bucket truck and descend safely to the ground where he was arrested. They think drugs are to blame for his bizarre behavior.
Yeah, looking at his picture, they definitely were.
I think
were.
So, too.
You think so? Oh, boy.
So the tree wasn't the problem. It was the naked that was the problem, right?
There were a lot of problems.
What kind of bark rash do you get with that? Oof.
Oh, splinters. Ouch. You get splinters.
Ouch.
On a pine tree, too. Whoa. Especially.
Get some sap in places
needles,
you don't want sap.
Yeah, it's
that's
bad.
No good.
It's bad times. Bad times in the deep South. So anyway, we've reached the time in the show where we'll play a little song for you. We talk about things that happen in smaller places.
Yay.
Than where we are.
The news of the towns which are small.
Or Speak Out.
Yay.
Yay.
Becca's favorite.
Nursing assistants the most difficult job in the land. I don't think the prize of tax reduction is going to the worthiest citizens. It's going to men and women who have left their families, went to other countries, and risked their lives for years. For yours. Try being grateful.
What? What?
That's a response to the last speak out where someone was complaining that only military people got tax discounts.
Right.
Hey, I live just around the corner from where the heroin bust was. You know, where the heroin
bust. The talk of the town.
Hey, props for getting rid of hard drugs, because they're all gone now, of course. Was it necessary to have a helicopter, though? Waste of taxpayer money at how
oh
much
my
per
God.
Hour. Looks like
oh
using it
God.
To justify it. We want our tax money back.
I want the cops just to park in his front yard and be like, here.
I love that. It's like, all right, you busted the heroin, you got the hard drugs off the street, but really, did you have to do that to do it? Oh. Jesus.
Like, can you be more efficient about it? Like, I mean, good job. It's like, what they say? Like, when you compliment, you want to give a criticism?
Back compliment.
Like, yeah. you compliment first, like, stroke their ego, and then you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's kind of lame.
Hey, by the way, I seriously hope the county plans on doing something about the plank road. It's almost to the point where it isn't drivable anymore. All my tax dollars being spent where?
On helicopters. Weren't you listening?
Getting less than 8 hours of sleep has proven to be negative on the human body, especially the brain. How people sleep on 3 hours a night is beyond me.
Wait, what?
It says
doctors?
How people sleep on 3 hours a night
is beyond me.
Apparently the editor...
That guy's only got seven.
If work prevents you from getting 8 hours, then perhaps you should speak up.
Yeah.
So that your boss can be like, well, if you're not up to it...
You can sleep all you like.
Yeah. Here's all the time in the world.
By the way, there's no issue of greater importance than seniors, renters, and veterans understanding that they must take control of their taxes and vote in this year's school board election. This is a union board, and fresh participation is critical.
I don't even... Is that an anti-union... What's happening?
Tax dollars.
Yeah.
Renters. Veterans and seniors. Those
most
are the three things...
Most important election of our lives.
Because of the school board? I'm really confused, too.
The small board town. Members.
Small town. It's uncorrupted.
I guess so.
They want to smoke marijuana and say it's not bad for them. But we're told soda and Big Gulp is bad for us and fast foods.
It is.
It's true.
I don't think comparing coffee to marijuana is even sensible.
What? You're right. It's not. No.
Can you think clear at all or are you high?
What?
Okay, Bob.
That dude only had 2 hours of sleep. That's his problem.
He's trying to get by on 3 hours. And you know, honestly, he needs a little bit more than that.
Oh, wait, I've got
bonus speak out for
Yay.
You.
Oh.
Let's go for some more.
Too far. Because
this is too much fun. At 3 a.m., the day after the big storm, on Route 3, the sidewalks that the city/town/state/county is responsible for...
That's not how that works.
...weren't shoveled off. If they can't keep the sidewalks shoveled off, how do they expect citizens to do it? Especially the elderly, disabled, sick, or single parents with small children.
And the renters.
Well, I expect them to use the small children with shovels. So.
They say at 3 a.m. after the storm?
Sorry,
maybe it's not important.
Let me go back. Yeah, 3 p.m. Sorry.
Oh, 3 p.m. Okay, that makes a little more sense. Like, I'm at 3 a.m.
Speaking of shovels, unshoveled sidewalks equal lazy teenagers.
Truth.
Come on, kids. Get your clients. Go door to door and get busy. $10 to shovel after a storm. 10 clients. $100. Three more seasons. Grab a rake. Push mower and trimmer. Keep in shape and make money. By the way, kids don't read speak out.
Yeah. I didn't know that was still a thing where kids can go shovel shit.
Small town.
Okay.
Protect our kids from tobacco marketing and remove advertising from convenience stores. I went to Canada recently and noticed all their tobacco products are covered. Why can't we do that? Smokers can still buy what they want without the kids being exposed to the industry's deceptive marketing.
The children!
Yeah, that's what the camel's for.
Hey.
Of the children.
Actually, that really was what the camel's
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's pretty manipulative.
I'd walk a mile for one. Justify marijuana prohibition. Whatever you say was said a century ago about alcohol. Prohibition just makes nonviolent citizens into criminals, costing us tax money on jails and enforcement. Let's tax and regulate it, make money instead of spending it, and move on from this dreadful waste of an experiment.
Yep.
Yeah, Bob.
Hey, before the city charges someone for their sidewalks, have they looked at the lower Bridge Street where the train station is, which hasn't been cleared all winter? Everyone equal or don't charge? Apparently, they're fining people for not clearing the sidewalks.
Oh, because those lazy teens.
Mm-hmm. Lazy teens.
Lazy teens.
By the way, as a first responder, I'm very grateful for the plow truck drivers making the roadways safe. But why does it seem that every person with a snowblower blows all the snow back into the road they work so hard to clean and make safe?
Was it has to go somewhere? In Tahoe, they put it on a dump truck. It's true. I saw them. They did.
Hey, thumbs. I'm going to end on this one. Thumbs way up to Kmart, Target, and Lowe's for not being afraid of the Girl Scouts and allowing them to sell their, allowing them into their stores to sell their cookies where they could stay warm. So,
that is nice. Good.
Yeah. So
nobody wants to scrape up frozen Girl Scout off the sidewalk.
Well, yeah, but then they're the ones that can lazy afford teams. It too. Like if they go in front of like a mom and pop shop and they sell cookies and then they have the Girl Scouts come in.
Yeah. Yes. The Target's not going to weep because they lost sales. I don't think they sell cookies at Lowe's.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that anybody goes into a Kmart anymore just amazes me. Oh, so
I went to one in Grass Valley and it was a horrible place.
So sad.
You're in Grass Valley.
I had to. Everything was nothing was good about that. But
yeah. It happens. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Y'all have a great weekend. I'll be in the San Luis Obispo area watching friends get married.
Aww. Ooh, mazel tov.
Yay, love.
Full stories about that.
Sounded a little forced, but yeah.
That came out a lot worse than I said.
Yay, love.
Oh, what's...
I suppose it's okay.
Mm-hmm. For jerks.
Yeah. Oh. Loving jerks, wanting to be happy and spending their lives together and all that jazz.
That. I mean, just congratulations to your friends.
So we got that in the weekend. A new Well Hung podcast for you on Monday, I promise, because it's already recorded.
Oh, hung.
So yes, I know it'll be there.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! Coming back.
Yeehaw. Coming back. Oh. My cat's making a break for the laptop. I'm afraid he's going to stop the recording before we're done. It's time to leave. This is music from Congos again. It's I'm Only Joking. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
I'm just a fucking with your head. Oh.